from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast made by the podcaster whose creaky dulcets hopefully feel breezy like a warm afternoon under an awning. And ideally soon you'll be yawning, but you may just be quizzically wondering what I'm talking about. And what am I talking about? I don't know. I'm here to keep you company. I'm here to put you to sleep because this is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We're going to start here in a few minutes, but if you're a regular listener, if you could just pay attention through the credits because these are the ways we keep the show going. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now. And the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. A mystery bard. There's a bunch of people that work really hard on this show. Who can you give me an idea, a rundown?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
And edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner.
I am the mystery bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Bard. Thanks, everybody who's been singing along with that and sending me videos. Really great, heartwarming. So these two children singing along to the song made my day. So thanks. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for spreading the word and spreading the joy. Where am I? Making Sleep With Me. I think that's it. Here's a... Oh, yeah, let's get on with the show. That's what I meant to say. How about this, Scoots? Yeah, Scoots. How about we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine. You know, you got travel, you got stuff going on. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to keep you company here. I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do, did I already say that? I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. I'm going to use out-of-the-box techniques like kissing my own shoulders. I don't know if I called it this, but sympathetic shoulder kissing. Here we go. I'm going in for one. 1 second, please. Now, really, I have my shirt on, but so it's not quite, it's more like kissing my shirt, but sympathetic shirt kissing, we could do that as well. Those are strange techniques. If you're new, what I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night and keep you company, take your mind off stuff to be here for you as you drift off. Now, it's becoming quickly apparent that this podcast is not like other podcasts. Or other things. You may call them normal things. Or you say other stuff. Yeah, this podcast is full of stuff. But it's just like a cloud. You say, I mean, actually, in some way it is. You say, man, that cloud looks like it's full of stuff. And a scientist would say, oh, yeah, molecules. And I'd say, well, that's a general word. But by the way, could you be more specific? And then the scientist would say, well, by the cut of your jib, Scoot, say, no, if I'm more specific. And they'd say, well, water, are you saying there's water molecules in there? And they'd say, well, technically. And I'd say, okay. What I was just saying, scientist, is like, it could be like a toy chest. When I came into the world, I both suspend my belief and my disbelief, I guess is what I'm saying. I believe in science. Believe me, scientists. And I think I was trying to make a metaphor for the new listeners. You say, well, that cloud looks pretty puffy. Could be some stuff in there. I don't know what it would be because I can't see through the cloud, but I could imagine maybe it's just cotton swabs. The cloud filled with cotton swabs. I don't know anybody... They don't run commercials for cotton swabs anymore. I think ever since those pads came out, you say, well, did the bottom of the cotton swab market fall out? Did they say, like, these pads are really impinging on our margins here? We used to just be able to make them in poofs. Yeah, I wonder if that's met what you say. Well, we're way more at ease when you could go into a bathroom and you see a bunch of puffy things. Okay, I'm stretching. Some part of my brain, I said, well, maybe I need to just get a, maybe I got to go to a store. Talk about consumerism at its best. I'm going to go to a store. I'm going to get myself a clear jar. I'm going to fill it with puffy cotton puffs or whatever they're called, swabs. Well, I'll tell you what, these ain't going to be swabbing nothing, vocabulary brain. They're just going to be puffing in there and chilling. Because what I was trying to do for a new listener, excuse me, new listener, I'm sorry. I was trying to create a metaphor about the podcast, but what happens is when I do that, I get up there in the clouds where my head's, I say, oh, that's where you've been, head. Your head's been in the clouds, Scoots. No wonder you can't make a metaphor about the podcast related to clouds and then go into a metaphor about bathrooms and things you may find in bathrooms and then... cotton swabs, and then you were probably going to go on a tangent about cotton swab barons or the great cotton swab collapse of 20-08. And I remember your classic segue. No, those were tangents about sea breeze and astringent. I don't remember the content of it, but I do remember you said you were talking about astringent for about 11 minutes in another podcast intro. Where you were trying to tell the listener, if you're new, just kind of watch it like a cloud. Podcast is an area like your cloud. You could imagine, oh, I guess some podcasts have stuff in it. This podcast is mostly tangents about stuff and puffy, you know, puffy stuff, ideally. So if you're new, you don't need to listen. I think that's the other thing. You know, don't try too hard to figure this podcast out. Give it a few tries. It's here to help you, but it doesn't work for everybody. And yeah, it might not be the thing for you, or you might find out on the second or third try it is. But yeah, I'm just here to help, so see how it goes. I hope it helps you, but it might not. But you know, I guess it... but let's see how it goes. So, because you don't need to listen to me. That's the other thing. You can kind of listen. You could barely listen. You can actively listen. And if you need to listen, I'll be here till the very end. I'll be here for about an hour. Because the other thing is, you can fall asleep whenever you like. There's no pressure to fall asleep. There's no pressure to listen. I'm here to keep you company for at least an hour. Maybe it's an hour and 15 minutes. Maybe for some people it's 8 or 10 hours. Of back-to-back episodes. You know, I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night. And what to expect is the show starts off with a few minutes of business. The reason I'm laughing is because we're like 6 minutes into the intro. Yeah, or maybe 6.5 minutes. It just starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show going and free. So thank you, regular listeners. New listeners, that's not super important. Then the show, then we have an intro. The intros are around 12 minutes of me kind of trying to earn your trust, to build some rapport, and to try to describe what the podcast is, put you at ease, and take your mind off of stuff. You say, oh, well, he's not really talking about much, and I don't even know what he's talking about. Clouds and cotton swabs, and maybe, you know, it might be hard for him not to say, you know, start quoting things about swabbing the old deck. And he, you know, he wants to be the great spokesperson for the cotton swabs and say, none of ye swabs shall ever swab ye deck. Or your face, you know, you'd say, you're never, if you don't want to swab a face, you don't have to. I'm telling you right now, at my house, unless I forget and I say, ooh, it's been 8 months since I've gotten that sea breeze out and done some astringing. I'm in the mood for a little, you know, I put on my astringent playlist, whatever they call that. I think there's a fancier term for it. Like when you use it on an engine, it's degreasing on an engine or a pan. And your face, I think they call it, you know, schnoobing it up or something. There's a word, I know there's a word for it. Could you play my deglazing of my face playlist? Do you mean your astringent playlist? I do, but I'm more, well, yeah. And you'll see me, a little sad A, I'll be, what am I talking about? I was trying to explain what the structure shows. So there's an intro where I go off topic, and I try to, some listeners skip the intro, some listeners fall asleep, a lot of people use it as part of their wind down routine. And a lot of people listen during the day. They say, hey, I need that 10 a.m. I need that 2 p.m. break, or I'm in traffic. What did Scooch talk about last night? It wasn't about an astringent playlist. It couldn't have been. I may need to re-listen. And, yeah, say, you know, then the second song, of course, would be the L-Train singing Easy. I'd be singing Sea Breezy, like my freshly astringed face, Also, Seabreeze, I don't think you're in business anymore. Maybe you are, but if you're looking for a podcast to sponsor, we could call it. I could call it today's podcast, Astringently Yours. I could also look up the definition of astringent if I need to. But I think you've separated yourself from that. What about, I could rename myself Witch Hazel if you need to. I'll punt it up however we need to. I'll punt it up if that's what it takes. Anyway, so that's the intro. A little bit confusing, a little bit different. Kind of sets the mood for the clowning around that's going to be going down around here. The nonsense, non-linear nonsense. Then we'll have a little bit of business. Then we have a bedtime story. Tonight it'll be our third pretty much 100% episodic, modular holiday series, Happiest Holiday Shop. And then eventually we'll get to the thank yous and the good nights. That's at the end of the show. So that's structurally what to expect. And I think I kind of demonstrated the other stuff unintentionally, really. I mean, I don't know if anybody, we could do a nationwide search for people that think more about cotton. I think they're called cotton balls. Somebody just called in to my brain and said, by the way, these cotton swabs is only, those are the, and I said, holy mackerel, you got to be kidding me. You're right. Those are the other ones, the tips. I was talking about cotton balls, but I've been calling them, holy mackerel. Let me get out of my pen and my paper. Dear cotton balls, I'm on whatever day it was that I recorded this, October 11th, 2018. Believe it or not, that's when I recorded this. I mistakenly went on a 8 to 12 minute tangent talking about how poofy and great you were. But I mischaracterized you as cotton swabs because my limited vocabulary and the indirect, you know, the way my neurons misfire. And I meant to create a glorious podcast intro honoring your puffiness and your ability to estrange faces, to create an imagery and metaphor for the listener of your softness, your shape, which is, you know, ball-like, but sometimes you're more cubular. Sometimes you're octagonal, but you always seem so cottony. And also to wonder, and part of me was legitimately wondering if you did have a little downturn there when they made the flat pads that you used to only be able to get in the Stridex packages. Then you could buy them and use them for other things. But, oh, I apologize so deeply for calling you cotton swabs. Also, cotton swabs, I probably owe you, a lot of apologies because we come in contact on a daily basis. And you travel with me. So also, cotton balls, sorry that I don't travel with you or give you more attention. You're probably honored in some homes. And like I said, I would like to have just a jar of cotton balls, what I'll say now correctly. As I own my mistakes, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And let me know how I could make it better. Also, if there are any sentient cotton balls, I'd like to pitch you on an amazing podcast. Everything is alive. I could get you in touch. But also cotton balls. I don't want you to feel like you have to swab any decks or faces. Oh no, sorry, new listeners. I just got another thing in. They said there's a difference between swab and schwab. And I said, well, I don't have time to give out those apologies. So swabbing the deck and swabbing the deck may be two different things. But to me, in this letter of apology, to you, sweet cotton balls, because, well, you're not sweet, even though, I've had you in my mouth, both in a professional and a hobbyist level. I'm sorry for stealing the thunder I tried to bring to you when I was imagining a cloud full of cotton balls. Also, swabs and swabs. I just got to use this chance to scoot. I'm sorry, okay? I'll just say it now. So please apologize to me. And for the new listeners that are here, this is kind of the thing to expect. I get a full scan of my head, they'll say, are those cotton balls or cotton swabs in there? They say, somebody, give him a little swab. By the way, look at that skin. Did you just estrange your skin? They say, did you take Latin, facial, Latin for spa owners? Because I just audited that course. Anyway, I'm here to help. This podcast is definitely a little bit different. It takes a few tries to get used to, but I'm here to help. I appreciate you coming by. I appreciate your time. And I work very hard. I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. All right. And here's a few of the ways we keep this show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, here we are with the episode of our holiday serial. Serial in non-episode. It's not episode. No, it is episodic. Sorry, I always forget these how these words work. It's our episodically modular, non-serial series, Happiest Holiday Shop. And it's a little bit, I guess it's already almost the end of the season because we're just doing three or four episodes here. And this is episode three. I mean, I'm recording episode three. I'm planning on writing and making episode four, but you know, who knows? But I want to set up the concept for you. It all revolves around the Happiest Holiday Shop. And it's a little bit like if a Hallmark holiday special was done by Black Mirror, I would say is like the intersection with Sleep With Me. So you say, okay, well, but I want it more. And I say, of course, it's way more sleepy. So it has a little vanilla, but, it, you know, it has some... you know, elements of Sleep With Me, a little bit goofy, a little bit twisty, and ideally reimagining, and something that, you know, feels is sweet, but not so sweet that it would be the Hallmark holiday special. I guess, I don't know, it's just an intersection of my interests and curiosity. So I guess like if they reinvented, I don't think that channel exists anymore, but if they said Strange Tales from the Hallmark Holidays, that would be it. I guess that's about it. But it's not actually, it's more sleepy than, I mean, there's just inherent strangeness to Sleep With Me. This just, I don't know, I guess it was, as usual, when I set up these series, it always works well. So settle in for a trip to the holiday season somewhere else. Somewhere that's nice and familiar, but with elements that, like, ideally you don't hear, but you could enjoy. If you're up and you're with me, I'll be here with you to the end, as I always say, weaving and telling this tale. As I got to observe it, or actually as I get to observe the narrator of this tale narrating what the narrator observes, all in a world where just down the street is a shop they call, well, I don't know who, I don't say they call, actually the shopkeepers, do they ever say welcome? I think they do, welcome to the Happiest Holiday Shop, and that's what I'll say, welcome to the world, welcome to the Happiest Holiday Shop. Tonight's story starts with Blake, who's asleep, deeply asleep. Blake is dreaming, but Blake doesn't even know that they're asleep, swimming in warm, embracing, comforting water, surrounded by the water. But breathing naturally, breathing deeply, looking around in a slow, languid way, taking in the world, looking at fish and birds and kelp, coral, in colors, purples and greens, vibrant and a spectacular array of colors as Blake drifts, soaking in the richness. And as Blake observes, also feeling observed, feeling the eyes of the fish watching, even the kelp watching, dancing kind of in the water, spinning around, feeling the energy from being observed, and starting to sense that the watching is what Blake is breathing, and saying, wait a second, breathing so fully, so naturally, and I'm floating, but I can feel it on my skin, not like air, like water. Is this a dream? Blake wonders, is this real? But luckily, because it's a water, the thoughts kind of drift away, and as it drifts away like bubbles towards the surface, that captures Blake's attention. And Blake follows the bubbles as they head towards the surface of the water. And as the surface of the water gets close, Blake starts to become mesmerized at the reflection, looking back, the sea floor, all of the fish and the plants and the coral life around Blake, floating behind, drifting, but also a reflection from beyond or something, the sky in the clouds also behind, kind of like looking at a reflection in a steel drum or some out-of-focus compound eyes. Blake floats there, looking and seeing the clouds pass over starfish and seeing starfish in the blue sky. And then Blake starts to feel other things watching from the other side of the steel drum. And Blake reaches out and realizes that it is, well, it's not a steel drum. It feels like a steel drum. That it feels like the surface isn't penetrable. But Blake's still calm, but curious, pressing against the reflection, wondering how to get through. And then something else catches Blake's attention. Another fish looking, or a clam. I can't even see the clam's eyes, but I feel like the clam is watching me. Touching the surface or wondering about the surface of this water. And then Blake starts to kind of feel like everybody's singing, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. And then, of course, Blake rolls over and something about the surface of the blankets or the sheets that Blake's cheeks touches a cool, cool pillow. If something stirs Blake out of sleep. Oh, wait a second. Oh, it's asleep. What a dream. This is a dreaming. I was swimming in a dream quickly recedes into the background. As Blake gets up and gets out of bed, heads to the facilities, there's many, many. You know, they skip those parts in most tales, and we'll skip it here. The teeth brushing, the sock putting on, the face washing, it all goes down with the sense of a dream, just left, a dream of depth, of immersion. But what was it? What was it? Was it a dreaming about anything? And Blake's thoughts feel drifty. What do I have to do today? And then Blake's thoughts drift to Casey. They've been friends for a long time, Blake and Casey. As Blake's day and morning continues on, I kind of fill you in. So Blake and Casey have been friends for a long time. Now, a few things you might want to know. Maybe they'll make it easier for you to relate. Blake is a classic beauty, a beautiful person. By most definitions, you'd say there's something striking if you saw Blake, or you'd remember Blake. There's something light and effortless about Blake's motion through the world, confidence. But then if you sat there and really observed, or if you could break through your curiosity, or you're swept up in the outside, you'd see, it's hard to see, actually, and Blake probably would back me up on this, even though narrators and characters aren't supposed to interact. I'd posit to say, Blake would say, it's not as easy as it looks, but my life so far. Yeah, it's had some breaks, and it's had some ups and higher ups, and maybe some downs and some dull times. And yeah, I get a lot of attention, a lot of positive attention, a lot of encouragement, a lot of support. Things may seem to go my way. Financially, I do a little bit better than getting by. And I do enjoy myself. But between those words, and maybe this is just my job as the narrator, though the person that makes the podcast is currently telling me it's not my job as a narrator to do this. But if you listen between the words, you'll hear something. A lonely space between the words, between Blake's words, I mean, in particular. Between the flashbulbs of attention, there's a darkness, maybe, is a pushing a metaphor that's applicable here. So that's a little bit about Blake. Blake's terribly likable and pleasant and nice. And, strangely enough, a bit of a loner, in the midst of all that attention, never much for clicks and things. You might say, well, it seems like Blake would be heading up a click. Not in this case. And Casey is another bit of a loner. You'd say, not like Blake. Casey is someone that spends a lot of their time thinking, a lot of their time struggling, a lot of their time on the ups and the downs and the predicting, the assessing the past. Casey's a bit like characters you might know, podcasters you might even know. Casey's got a sense of humor and Casey's got a bit of an edge. But Casey isn't someone you'd cast. And Casey's a little bit forgettable. We'll say it because Casey can't hear me right now. And I don't mean that. I just mean it as a factual way. Casey tries to be a bit blurry, a bit forgettable, because while it doesn't always feel good, it makes Casey feel pretty safe. But for some people, there's a magnetic energy there as Casey tries to remain isolated, to remain in a world of dreams, a world of books, a world of imagination, sometimes fantasy and sometimes a more ominous imagination. It can be a magnetic draw sometimes. But magnets also kind of have a repulsion to them. And so Casey's a pretty lonely individual. And Blake and Casey's friendship, strangely enough, came from a love of the Manchichi franchise. In the glory days of Manchichi. And, seeing it even as I, as a narrator, I'm unfamiliar with, more or less, except for maybe seeing one perched on the end of a pencil. But the two of them, were drawn together by their love of this and going to conventions, at first separately, without being aware of one another. Well, I shouldn't say that. Casey was aware of Blake. But Blake just like you could imagine, floated through the Manchichi fan community, where Casey lived a Manchichi fan life of quiet, contemplative observation. But away from the conventions, Casey was always hard at work at Manchichi fiction and, erotic fiction sometimes. And it had a humorous angle to it, but it was also had a depth to it, an intensity to it, a warmth to it, a passion to it. And it was something that Blake started to discover, and not just not just the After Dark, Manchichi After Dark, was the only title the podcaster could think of, but there was also other tales and other reinventions of genres in Casey's fan fiction. And sometimes Casey was imagining Blake as they started to discuss these things online, and Blake kind of started to encourage Casey. At first, for Casey, the attention was a little bit confusing, because it was a attraction around interests, and that was all it was for Blake. And at first, something in the attention swelled in Casey, buoyed, and of course, naturally, Casey kind of felt drawn to Blake romantically. But at the time, Blake's attention was elsewhere, moving through living Blake's life. But beyond the attraction was their love of Manchichi, and their love of fun, and their love of laughing. And so they became friends, and Casey kind of, would still hold this fantasy and then be disappointed that the two of them remained just friends. And they spent a long time of their 20s together, but they lived in separate cities, so it was more of a virtual together, a together over Manchichi, and then other fun things they found, anything sharing one or another's sensibilities. But meanwhile, their regular lives were pretty different. Blake's, at least from the outside, was living an awesome life, an amazing life. And Casey would say, my life's a bit forgettable, a bit dull. And, we could get into it. They just say, well, they're both rich in their shades of living, in their shades of gray. But that was their lives, and that was the overlap. But there was a sense, at least, and maybe there was too much interference with Blake, that there was something special about Casey. And maybe that, though Blake would probably deny it, that there was something about Casey's romantic attention that excited Blake. But Blake was, maybe too young, or maybe a different, younger value system about what Blake wanted. And they made a kind of an agreement to one another. They said, hey, what about when we turn 30? What do you think about if we're both still one of those packs, you might have with a friend or a former? You say, when we get to this point, maybe we could couple up. And it was a strange reaction for Casey. At first, it was like, oh, wow. But then as time grew on, and Casey kind of got more Casey-like, Casey kind of pushed, a life with Blake isn't an option for me. Anyway, that's where our tale, hopefully I gave you enough information there, because Blake's almost to Casey's house now, and Blake has been thinking a lot about things, because the big 3-0 is right around the corner. The New Year's Eve, I think they said. I apologize as the narrator. I'm a bit behind after we both turned to 3-0. Maybe we'd head to Vegas. And Blake's acutely aware of it. And as Blake's been processing things, thinking, Casey's pretty great. And what is behind all that writing? I've only thought about it one or two times in stolen thoughts. If Casey has that same softness, but beyond that warmth, when writing about Manchi cheese, where does that come from? What's flowing out of that wellspring? But Blake at first was like, no. But getting more and more adjusted to the thought. And, you know, none of us get back to actually blame Blake for when you say, well, kind of making some pretty big assumptions that Casey should, well, maybe we, oh, yeah, Blake said, hey, Case, what's up? Just getting some stuff done. We gotten a chance to work on that, the Super Manchichi thing, but I know I just said I'd show it to you. Oh, cool. I was just trying to make my New Year's plans. I wanted to see, I mean, I know we're going to hang on, Christmas Eve for a little bit, before I go over to my mom's house, but I don't know. I was thinking about New Year's Eve, you know. Believe it or not, I actually already have New Year's Eve plans. I know I normally just take a bath on New Year's Eve, and you laugh about it, and then we call each other at 9, and I say, no, I'm really in the bathtub, and you're always at a party. That's what I love about you, That takes so much courage to just be in a bathtub on New Year's Eve at 9 o'clock. Yep, courage is, this New Year's, I kind of have something going on. Well, I've just been thinking a lot about New Year's, you know, like in our, you know, our friendship, things we've talked about, our futures, New Year's Eve stuff. Well, I don't know if you remember Blair, like Blair and I were kind of together, then not together. Oh, yeah, Blair, right. I always get that mixed up with me, like Blake and Blair. Don't you think that's kind of like a little bit, Blair's like, a company sold, the collectibles site Blair's started. So, we're going to like, we're, I mean, like, it's great to be in town and be in the same town as you, but we're going to move, we've always kept our friendship. I mean, move permanently? Yeah, like for the two of us. But you didn't want to live with anybody. You always wanted to live on your own. Well, you know, it's like we're getting to this point and I got to make a decision. And Blair's, you know, it's like relationships, were you going to say it's okay? It's okay. And the like money the site sold for, it's not like FU money, but it is like, let's kind of move around money. And maybe we could like work in cafes. If I could like start selling some of this spec stuff, it wouldn't be spec, but it would be like equivalent of like $10 an hour. And then like with the things, well, that sounds like a kind of like more than just moving with somebody. That sounds like a kind of partnership. Yeah, yeah, we're getting together. We're partnering, officially partnering. In a ceremony and stuff. Yeah, yeah. I mean, once New Year's that we're gonna do it and then head out. Oh, are you in love with Blair? I mean, it's complicated. I mean, we get along and we like each other, and it just is sensible. Like, what else am I gonna do? Stay in the bathtub every New Year's? I mean, that's cool, but I don't know. I've just been thinking a lot about it, and you know, it's like where we're at. I mean, for you, it's easy. For me, it's not. How's that sound? Wow, that's it's like you're using your relationship like some sort of utility or something. I mean, yeah, it's like a source of stability. That's going to be my relationship, I guess. I thought you were my friend, like I could talk to you openly and be honest with you. Yeah, I'm not, I mean, life's not, this is like the gray that we live in. You know, there's Casey's and Blair's, and then there's Blake's, and not everybody gets to be a Blake. Oh, oof. You know, believe it or not, the reason I came over here was because I was thinking about our New Year's agreement. Wait, what do you mean? Like our New Year's agreement to one another. But I guess you already have an agreement. You mean like us two together? Yeah, that's what I meant. You know what? Forget the whole thing. Like, okay, here's one question for you. Am I like a utility for you too? Like I get to encourage you in your writing and we get to laugh and like, is that like how compartmentalized things are? Like I'm just your, my easy friend that just strolls through life. You know what? I gotta go. You know what? Never mind. Congratulations. If you want to invite me, let's just talk about it later. I got to go. And so Blake walked out of Casey's house. Now, that was a little bit of a ride, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. But it's going to be okay. Blake's tough. And one thing we didn't mention about Casey, beyond the manchichi, and something Blake never really took an interest in, just an observation, is that outside of Casey's house on the holiday season, Casey puts up a tent, and inside that tent, Casey puts a big wooden desk, or a giant wooden platform, you'd even call it. And on that platform is not just a train set, but a village of collectible holiday houses. But not just one style. There's some Victorian, and there's some from theme parks, and there's some Casey got at garage sales or estate sales, some from airplane magazines, and some, you know, after the holiday sales, the ones that had to be chipped and repaired and repainted. So a mishmash of holiday kind of sweetness, but at a distance. And for the first time, Blake stops and really looks at it. It was always just one of Casey's things to Blake. Not as appealing. The holidays were kind of just a time of events. And this was one of the events, Casey's turning the power on the holiday display. And now it's time to soak it in, how different it is, but how there's some little parts of the town that are themed and a hill and everything. There's like one of the ones has a continuous motion of by magnets or something, kids sliding down a hill. There's a Ferris wheel and there's a carousel. There's a bunch of Dickensian houses. There's even a den of Fagin. When you look in the windows in some of them, there's characters in some of them. Casey's redone it and put Annie inside of with Oliver sitting on a bed talking. There's a bunch of details, but it kind of none of it comes together. Like a patchwork of patches. And you say, "What did you iron? You ironed that one on and sewed that one on. Interesting." But all on a hill, slowly going down to a tree, and then even a river flowing over the edge of, I guess, this town's existence. A fake river made from some sort of acrylic or something, that when the lights hit it, it almost looks like it's flowing. And Blake soaks it in and looks, sighs, and it feels a deeper magnetic pull. But there's also something about it that kind of sets a boundary, too. It makes Casey more attractive, but even more distant. There's something also cool about it, even though there's even incandescent lights in some of the houses. But Blake is a person with some hidden depth and an ability to just look at this display and feel these feelings and nod and make a decision. Also to feel some pride that Casey made this, but also to feel the sting of, is this a friendship as utility or love as utility? And Blake heads off towards the town square for a walk. And as I go by the shops and the movie theater, Blake sees an awning. Blake hears whirring and the mechanical sounds of music-making machines, the clink of reindeer bells as a family exits the shop, and the awning reads "The Happiest Holiday Shop." Blake goes in and starts looking around. And this time, the two shopkeepers are quiet. They're watching Blake, and Blake's feeling their eyes in a non-obtrusive way. Because Blake's not even sure, what am I here for? And they must know it too, fumbling around. And then starting to look, is there a house that Casey doesn't have? Is there something that would fit this mismatched display? And Blake's more engaged than one of the shopkeepers. She looks, excuse me, looks like you're a little bit, you looks like you kind of know what you're looking for, but you don't have you mind me saying it. Is everything okay? Not great. Thank you. I'm just looking for something for someone and it's pretty obvious, huh? Yeah, but I was going to say welcome to the happiest holiday shop, but it just didn't seem fitting. I didn't, but yeah, it looks like, how can we help you today? Well, how about some peppermint tea? Why don't you take a seat here and we just have a pot at the perfect drinkable temperature right now. Why don't you have a sip of tea with us? Okay, that would be nice. Thanks. Yeah, this tea is nice. It seems like, hope you don't mind me saying this, because I don't mean it as a value judgment, but it seems like you're feeling a little bit empty or something. Is that anything? Yeah, I don't really want to talk about it too much. I'm just here looking for something for a friend and, I guess I want to do something special. Is it someone like, do you want something, a gift that says something or that translates or something special? What do you mean? I don't know. I guess like something maybe to remember me by. I don't know. Does it like, but not to be showy. Ah, okay. So they're going away. Yeah, they're moving away. Okay, okay. Let's, so something to remember you by, but something not showy. And I noticed you were kind of looking at some of the different houses we have, and, you know, there's all these different styles of displays and cultural displays or nostalgic displays. Is there something about that that caught your eye? Yeah, there was. Like, Casey, that's who it's for, is, has one of those displays, and it's actually just like just about every of those things put together. Every cultural thing and every nostalgic thing all mashed up into one village. Well, you wouldn't believe this. We've been running this shop for a long time, and we've seen that type. It's more popular than you might believe. Really, what do you call it? Well, we call it dad jeans, but that's just kind of an inside joke between the two of us. It doesn't really mean, oh, no, I totally get it. I totally get it. Like a big, it's like a big jumble. Like, yeah, no, I get it. Okay, so you're looking for something unique, something one of a kind, something maybe that reflects you a little bit, right? I mean, a bit, but yeah. Yeah, but you seem less jumbled and more sleek. Or maybe not sleek, what's the word? But refined or elegant. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you, for sure. But being refined and elegant, that has a cost to it, too. I mean, do you mean expensive or... Well, I was thinking more of like that it can be lonely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But you have this like kind of warmth. You radiate this warmth, but maybe it comes out of that lonely spot, huh? Yeah, I thought I was here for a gift, but I didn't realize, is this going to be a 50-minute session? And do you do sliding scale? Oh, no. We don't do sliding scale. No. Okay, I'll have to call my insurance company then. No. This is all, the gifts cost money. The discussion is free. Let's switch back to this Casey character. Is Casey kind of a little bit of, a little bit different than that, huh? Like underneath all of the display is, something, cold that radiates warmth or something or absorbs warmth, or I don't quite know how to put it, even though I don't know Casey. Yeah, something like that, I guess. I don't know. I don't get it. Absorbs warmth might be the thing that, yeah, but I just, okay, well, let's just take a look at, we've got something over here that might connect your interests. And this is something, a very, very unique piece that no one ever notices. It's totally forgettable here in our shop. And normally, you might look at a shop like ours and think we scorn technology, but you're going to be very, very impressed. I think this is what you're looking for. It's right over here on the edge of this, just this tabletop display. It's very, very special, but I don't even know. It would take a special... Is it that mirror? It's a miniature mirror. Is that real? We could tell you're very good at observing these things. Yes, it is the mirror there. It's a miniature mirror, just the same scale as most of these holiday towns. And it's just like a stand-up antique mirror. It's very cute. Okay, we'll get down there and take a look at that mirror. It's really reflecting that child looking in it, and almost has that patina of antiqueness to it. Again, keep looking. I can see the other things in the town reflecting. So it's a real mirror. Okay, keep looking at the mirror. Keep looking. Get really, really. Wait a second. Is that the other person that works in the shop in the mirror or inside the mirror? It's like your partner's in there. Is it? Wow, that's how are you doing that? Oh, geez, come on back. Let's show you the back of the shop because this is a two-part thing. There's the miniature mirror, and then back here, oh my goodness, it's a life-size version of that mirror, and it's absolutely striking. Yes, it's kind of a two-way, and I can kind of explain. Oh, this is the frame of it is. Is this gilded? Is that like a hand painted? Yes, it's ornate. Oh yeah, like the wait. This is a little story even in here. I'll take it. Is it actually antique or? Well, we could explain to you kind of how this side works. No. I'll take it. I don't even need. This is a beautiful mirror. It could be a gift to myself even. And then the mirror at Casey's. Casey might not even notice. Well, don't you want us to tell you? No. I think I'll be surprised. There's no tricks to this mirror, right? I'll be able to figure it out. It's intuitive. Actually, it is. Okay, let's, why don't you, okay, thank you so much. Thank you. And so, Blake got the mirrors, the one tiny, tiny mirror, and the one life-size, folded down. This is the stuff just like in the morning that doesn't get told, the folding down of the back seats, the carrying of the mirror, the paying and the costs. And then Blake drove over to Casey's house and took the small mirror and placed it. At first, just watched a display. Night still hadn't fallen, but it was close to dusk. And tried to find a spot and then decided right at the waterfall at the edge of the world to place a mirror there. And then found a character that looked a little bit like Belle. In the few scenes from Beauty and the Beast, either version where Belle is in winter garb, and put Belle looking into the mirror off axis, so that mostly what the mirror was facing was the entire display. And Blake moved a couple other characters so they could kind of be like looking at the mirror. Instead of looking at the holiday tree or the other holiday displays. And then Blake headed home, didn't alert Casey, didn't say anything at all. And then Blake got home and set the mirror up, looked for a place to plug it in, and then said, oh, this probably like works in some sort of solar power. They said it was very high technology. The mirror was heavy, but Blake was strong. Blake set it up and then sat at the edge of the bed and looked in it and studied it. Looked around the bedroom. Looked in the mirror. Did the old eye contact with yourself kind of thing. And then started to notice the little dots, mostly towards the top part of the mirror with these more antique-y mirrors. You see, what is that, like quicksilver? And then started to think of it as snow, and then started to think of it as lights, and then followed it down. And then started to see Casey's display in the mirror. Now, it wasn't in real time, but it was in some sort of real dream time. Part of Blake's mind was trying to analyze, what video codecs and how did it get my Wi-Fi? But really, watching the display through this, it almost looked real. And real enough to stand up and walk closer to the mirror to really look in and see the Ferris wheel moving. Then off on the other side of the hill, the carousel. Then the children sledding. And then hearing them laughing. And then suddenly Blake was looking around, really there. In the town, a bustle of a strange, strange activity for just like the real display. This world was every genre and period piece at once. People bustling like a strange time travel mashup movie. Dickensian characters rushing to a 1950s five and dime. And, you know, just all sorts of a strange, strange world, but totally mesmerizing. Cars moving, horses and carriages, you know, old lamps and spotlights and holiday, you know, carolers, a whole nine yards. And Blake started to explore the town more. And then started to notice that people would come up and look right into Blake's eyes. And then they would say something, but it was never, it was always disjointed and disconnected. The first few times it felt like it was directed at Blake, but quickly it seemed like, well, you're never going to make him happy, was the first thing a mother kind of seemed with her arms full of packages. Yeah, but then it was just someone that said, that banker's never going to approve it. Then it was Oliver and Annie holding hands, talking about it, and became more confusing to Blake. Everyone looking, but talking about something unrelated to who Blake was. And even though this was a strange dreamlike thing, it made Blake feel a little lonely, wanting to connect to other people in this amazingly strange world. And maybe there was a level of hyper-feeling there because of magic, I don't know. But Blake started to kind of wander around town, wondering, each encounter becoming a little bit more confusing and in draining. And so Blake walked around and then went into the five and dime and headed over, because so many people had talked about appearance, and that was something that always had such a role in Blake's life. Blake said, well, what am I just don't belong in this world, maybe. And finally, Blake got to a mirror in the five and dime in the clothing section. Saw another mirror looking back, a mirror reflecting a mirror reflecting a mirror. And Blake was at first like, what, you know, what in the heck is going on? But with stronger language. But then Blake started to feel really cold. On more than one level, and ran out of the five and dime, ran out of the town and headed into the hills, maybe a part of the hill that wasn't in the original display, a cold hill. And Blake kept feeling colder and colder. And Blake noticed that the sun was out. It turned to the sun and it was still cold. And something in Blake's intelligence said, if I don't get warm, I'm going to be stuck as a mirror in this strange place. But I must be reflecting the sun, so I got to find another way to do this. And then Blake ran back to the five and dime, ripped the other mirror, which must have been strange even in a strange fantasy world, seeing a mirror rip a mirror off a wall. And headed back to the town square. And Blake set the other mirror up, reflecting the sun back at Blake. And that didn't work. Blake was still cold. And could hear the chattering of people following after a mirror, taking a mirror without permission from a five and dime. And of course, the other genres of people watching. Maybe even Marty McFly was shooting through this universe to get to Doc Brown. Who knows? Yeah, but Blake kept it trying and trying and then angling in the mirror. And then Blake kind of heard all these different mismatches of holiday tunes. And of all of the sounds that rang out was a sound of a steel drum, probably playing with like a dulcimer and a harpsichord, but these undeniable sounds. And Blake ran over and grabbed the steel drum of all things, which created a bit more of a hubbub, and angled the mirror, reflected the sun into another mirror, angled into the steel drum, just facing. So kind of a three, sun into Blake, reflected off of Blake into the other mirror, reflected into the steel drum, which was also placed on top of a rock, which I don't know if this had to do with it because I am only a narrator. But then things started to warm up. Was it the broken reflections of the steel drum, or was the steel drum heating the rock, which was radiating the heat? The rock that was still cold on the inside. I don't know. But eventually Blake warmed up, and Blake set the mirror from the Woolworths in the same spot that the miniature mirror from the town was set up in. And things started to drift. Then Blake woke up at the foot of Blake's bed in Blake's room, and the mirror was there. And looking in the mirror, you could see Casey's eye, the display, like maybe a live version. Casey looking at the display and looking at the mirror, and this satisfaction of Casey seeing the mirror and seeing the town behind it reflected back, and even the bell, and Casey was touching the bell and moving it a little bit. And then Casey pulled out a manchichi and intertwined the manchichi's hand with bells set them both kind of looking off at the mirror so they could see the reflection of the village. And Blake was still kind of staring in the mirror, smiling. And something about the thing had mesmerized Casey. Casey was the one looking in the mirror. And Blake was watching everything, too, and seeing Belle and Manchichi holding hands. And then Blake's phone buzzed, and it was a text from Casey. Thanks for the mirror. Good night. Thanks, everybody, for enjoying this holiday tale from the Happiest Holiday Shop. Good night and happy holidays to you. I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Michael McKenzie and Alan. Thanks, and good night. I want to thank Allison, Liz, and Esther. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Margo, Meredith, and Allie. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Alan, Matthew, and Christina. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Brick, Luella, and Christine. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Carmen, Eliana, Nancy Jean. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Kayleen, Benjamin, and Carolyn. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Lorena, Anna, and Elizabeth. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Laura, Lisa, and Anna. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Ryan, Nancy, and Teresa. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Marianne, Tina, and Mike. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Claire, Christine, and Coco. Thanks, and good night. Ian, Jessica, and Rana. Thanks, and good night. Dee, Katie, and Catherine. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Mary, Beth, and Krista. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Quentin, Rebecca, and Kimberly. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Amanda, Caitlin, and Adam. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Claudia, Sarah, and Arthur. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Drop Joe and Laura. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Amber, Beverly, and Kathleen. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Laura, Burton, and Evan. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Grant, Andrew, and Michelle. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Amy, Catherine, and JK. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Keely, Michelle, and Sheila. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Amy, Susan, and Megan. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Sarah, Brian, and Herp. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Matt, Tracy, and Jenna. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Sarah, Daniel, and Anonymous. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. And good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep with Me exists and is furry and out on a regular basis because of the people that support the show directly on Patreon and other means, and who directly support the sponsors, who patronize the sponsors as well. That's how the show comes out and is there for you. So thank you, everybody that does those things. And spreading the word and all those other things, encouragement, all that stuff is amazing too. We're also a member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows they do over at nightvalepresents.com. We're a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And here you go. Here, I got some puffy clouds here. Just happen to have them. Let me use them to make you a bit more comfortable. Plus, there's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need it. Good nighty poo. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.